Hello, and welcome to the Message Share Ministry of the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church in Muncie, Pennsylvania. The message you are about to hear was preached in a worship service. After some congregational singing, our speaker is Richard Waltz, who is an elder and the pastor of the church.
This passage tonight, it's the second or the last portion of chapter 17, 2 Samuel.
Then said Hushai unto Zadok and to Abiathar the priest, Thus and thus did Ahithophel counsel Absalom and the elders of Israel, and thus have I counseled. Now therefore send quickly and tell David, saying, Lodge not this night in the plains of the wilderness, but speedily pass over, lest the king be swallowed up, and all the people that are with him. Now Jonathan and Ahimaaz stayed in Enrogel, for they might not be seen to come into the city. And a wench went and told them, and they went and told King David. Nevertheless, a lad saw them and told Absalom. But they went both of them away quickly and came to a man's house in Bahurim, which had a well in his court, whither they went down. Now the woman took and spread a covering over the well's mouth, and spread ground corn thereon, and the thing was not known. And when Absalom's servants came to the woman to the house, they said, Where is Ahimaaz and Jonathan? And the woman said unto them, They be gone over the brook of water. And when they had sought and could not find them, they returned to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, after they were departed, that they came up out of the well, and went and told King David, and said unto David, Arise, and pass quickly over the water, for thus hath Ahithophel counseled against you. Then David arose, and all the people that were with him, and they passed over Jordan. By the morning light there lacked not one of them that was not gone over Jordan. And when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass and arose and got him home to his house, to his city, and put his household in order, and hanged himself and died, and was buried in the sepulchre of his father. Then David came to Mahanaim, and Absalom passed over Jordan, he and all the men of Israel with him. And Absalom made Amasa captain of the host instead of Joab. And Amasa was a man's son, whose name was Ithra, an Israelite, and went in to Abigail, the daughter of Nahash, sister to Zeruiah, Joab's mother. So Israel and Absalom pitched in the land of Gilead. And it came to pass, when David was come to Mahanaim, that Shobai the son of Nahash of Rabbah, of the children of Ammon, and Mashir the son of Amiel of Lodibar, and Barzillai the Gileadite of Rogelim, brought beds and basins and earthen vessels and wheat and barley and flour and parched corn and beans and lentils and parched purse, and honey, and butter, and sheep, and kine, and cheese of kine for David, and for the people that were with him to eat. For they said, The people is hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the example of these faithful servants and friends of David who took great risks to warn him, to protect him, to provide for him, despite the rebellion of Absalom. And we pray that you would help us to hold fast to the truth in these dark times, in these dangerous days, that we might be found faithful, that we might serve you as we ought. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Before we get into this portion of 2 Samuel 17 tonight. We commemorate a date in history. April 28, 1834 was the birth date of a man by the name of Vernon J. Charlesworth. He was a Baptist preacher. He was the headmaster of Charles Spurgeon's orphanage. But he is most remembered today for a hymn. For he was a hymn writer. Though he was a preacher, though he was administrator of the orphanage, he left to us a hymn which we still sing. And that hymn is... I forgot what hymn it was. yes, it is a good one. maybe we can find it there in the author index. Vernon Charlesworth. That's awful. Totally slipped my mind. A Shelter in the Time of Storm. Yes. Had a mental lapse there, but yes, Vernon J. Charlesworth is the author of the hymn A Shelter in the Time of Storm. Oh well. tonight we have a rather lengthy title for this passage of Scripture. It is Pious Priests, Faithful Friends, and a Suicidal Schemer. Generally we try to come up with a more succinct title, a summation of the passage that we are considering, but this one didn't have a readily adaptable title for such, and to cover all that is here included, we were forced to assign to it this lengthy title. But this is a section of contrasts. This is the beginning of the onset of the Civil War. We've seen before that the battle lines have been drawn. Absalom has attracted the popularity. Many of the elders of Israel have sided with him. The people were supporting him. He's wildly popular because of what he's promising. And he was a cult of personality, much like some of our modern politicians or movie stars or other celebrities. And yet, he was not God's chosen one. The anointed king was David. And as these battle lines were being drawn, David, in order to minimize the damage, the destruction, the collateral damage, as they say, to Jerusalem from such a civil war, he had opted to leave the city. And Absalom moved in and took control of the palace. He took the throne. He took David's concubines as an insult, as a final breach between father and son. But here in this passage, we see the results. As David is leaving Jerusalem, we see the support that comes to David. We've, in the previous section, already seen the loyalty of Hushai. He had gone back to Jerusalem to be a spy of sorts, a double agent, as he was assigned the task of countering the counsel of Ahithophel, the enemy of David. And here, as previously arranged, after having delivered the counsel, opposing the advice of Ahithophel, Hushai now relays the message to the priests. And here we have these loyal, pious priests. They are doing their job. And for those who are of the opinion, through that twisted interpretation of the Constitution, that religious leaders can have no role in civil government, this passage of Scripture counters that. Because Zadok and Abiathar are taking a direct hand in the preservation of King David on the throne of Israel. And as they had returned, they had been sent back to Jerusalem by David. David had expressed a demonstration of his faith by urging them to take the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem, to wait there, and to await God's anointing, to await God's stamp of approval, so that he might be certified as the official king, and still the king. So Zadok and Abiathar now follow through with their end of the bargain. They demonstrate their faithfulness to David, their faithfulness to God, who had anointed David as king of Israel. And they send the message back to David as to what has happened. Hushai had reported to Zadok and Abiathar, the two priests, what Ahithophel had counseled and the countering advice that he had given counsel to Absalom. And from this, there's apparently still some indication that he has some reservations as to whether Absalom had really accepted his advice. Because his message to David that he relays through his sons, Jonathan and Ahimaaz, is that David should not tarry, he should not wait, but he should get quickly across the Jordan to the east of Jerusalem as quickly as possible, so that the king and all the people with him should not be swallowed up. Apparently he still believed that there was a possibility that Absalom could change his mind, that he might go back on his acceptance of Hushai's advice, and that he might take the counsel of Ahithophel after all. For Ahithophel had desired to take 12,000 men that very night and to cross over and to pursue and to kill David. Whereas Hushai had sought to buy time to encourage Absalom to gather up men from all over Israel and to assemble a massive fighting force, and that Absalom himself should lead the attack. But apparently, the priests were concerned, as well as Hushai, that Absalom might go back on his commitment and resolve, after all, to pursue David immediately. So they send counsel, they send advice, they send a warning to David to flee immediately. And then we see that not only was the loyalty demonstrated by Zadok and Abiathar, the pious priests, the diligent servants of the Lord, but their sons were involved directly. And they took part in this effort to warn David. So they went to the well at the east gate of Jerusalem. They dared not enter in because apparently Absalom had his spies and he was watching the priests because he apparently didn't trust them. He apparently believed that they would remain loyal to David, though they had come back to Jerusalem. And they waited at the gate, at the well, which is called En-Rogel. And as they awaited there, this was apparently a popular spot. It was a place where many people went for water. The meaning, or one of the meanings of the name of that well, is treading. So it was apparently a heavily traveled area at the east gate of Jerusalem. But they dared not enter in because they did not wish to be seen by Absalom's spies and Absalom's men. But as they took these precautions, nevertheless, we're told here in this passage that a lad saw them. And we, in the midst of this, as they're relaying the message, we read here that a wench carried the message. Now, a wench is a Scottish term. It is an English term. It's usually a derogatory term. And in this case, it's largely a mistranslation. Because wench in the Scottish or in the English, in the Old English, was generally a lower class female, usually of rather low morals. And that isn't the thought here. That isn't the sense of this particular account. This girl was a loyal girl, a handmaid. And virtually everywhere else in Scripture where this Hebrew word is used, it's translated maiden or handmaid. But in this particular case, for some reason, the translators chose wench. And as she, too, demonstrates her faithfulness, she did her part. She carried the message onward, the report from Jonathan and Ahimaaz, that had been relayed by their fathers, Zadok and Abiathar. But a lad had seen them. He had seen the transaction, or he had seen the travel of the sons of the priests, and he reported back to Absalom. The king's spies were everywhere. And as they took precautions, nevertheless they were seen. But they went to an area, and this location where they went, it was actually the same place where Shimei had tossed rocks at David as he fled Jerusalem. And yet, the very meaning is choice. And this indicated that even in that spot, or in that location, Bahurim, this was a place where there were some loyal to David, and there were some who had gone the route of Shimei and criticized and sought to embarrass David and rebel against him and join Absalom. And such is the case in such civil wars, in such opposition to those who are legitimately in government. People have a choice. And the people of Bahurim were protective of these two sons of the priests. They went to a man who had a dry well, a cistern. And the woman there had bidden them to hide in the dry cistern. But it was, from all appearances, a well. And she covered the face of the well with dried corn or vegetables, which were apparently laid out to dry. And this ruse worked. It caused the pursuing messengers, the spies of Absalom, as they approached the area and asked the woman where the two sons of the priests had gone. Rather than say they're over there in the well, she said they've crossed over the waters, the brook of waters. In other words, they've crossed the Jordan, they've gone to the east. And the servants of Absalom looked around and couldn't find them, so we're told that they went back to Jerusalem. Here again, we have a Rahab moment. We have a situation very much like the Egyptian midwives. She uttered a falsehood so that she might save the lives of Jonathan and Ahimaaz. And yet this is not criticized in Scripture. She is not rebuked in the Word of God for having told a lie. There are many who would split hairs over such an incident and say, well, that doesn't mean we should lie. And of course, it doesn't mean we should lie. But what it does indicate to us is that she was under no obligation to forfeit the lives of the faithful priests for the sake of a rebellious tyrant in the person of Absalom. So this woman tells the spies they've gone across the brook of water. They've crossed into the east of the Jordan, and they've gone their way. And after they departed, after they went and looked around the neighborhood and couldn't find them, they went back to Jerusalem. But this bought an avenue of escape for the sons of the priest. Jonathan and Ahimaaz came up out of the dry well, and they went and they delivered their message to David. Again, they urge him to not wait on the west side of the Jordan, but to cross over immediately, to escape to safety on the possibility that Absalom would change his orders, that he would reconsider the advice given to him by Ahithophel, and thus that he would descend upon David at a point where he was not yet prepared to defend himself. So David is delivered the message, and he heeds the warning. And before the morning, there was not one of them, of his servants, of his followers, left behind on the Jerusalem side of the Jordan. They all safely escaped. In verse 23, we see the end of a wicked man. Ahithophel, the enemy of David, the father-in-law, the former father-in-law, the father of Bathsheba. He is embarrassed by having not had his counsel heard and accepted by Absalom. And what he does is he saddles up his donkey and he rides back to his home to the north of Jerusalem. And we're told that he set his house in order and he hanged himself. A cowardly exit for a wicked man who knew that his days were numbered. Because he knew that his counsel, his advice to let himself be the leader of the troop that would immediately pursue David, that was their only hope of success. That was their only hope of victory. And being that Absalom had accepted the counsel of Hushai rather than his own, he was embarrassed. And he therefore sought to escape the consequences of what he knew would soon follow. He knew that Absalom's days were numbered. He could not succeed in the rebellion because of the delay. And thus, it's also apparent that he understood that God was on David's side and that he would suffer the consequences of his joining with Absalom's rebellion, and he chose to end it all. And that is the way that many people approach suicide. They think they're alleviating their problems, they're escaping the consequences of their sinful activities, and thus they're ending it all. But suicide is, as Scripture records, it is self-murder. And it is that which is not condoned in the Word of God. It is not an honorable way to die, nor is it an advisable way to end one's life. For God is the giver of life. And thus, Ahithophel hanged himself. He died, and he was buried in the sepulchre of his father. But then we return to the story. And we're told that the battle lines are drawn. David passes over. All of his followers go to Mahanaim. And this was a fortified city on the east of Jordan. It was a safe retreat. It was a defensible location that would be rather difficult for Absalom to conquer. Absalom gathers his forces at Gilead, also on the east side of Jordan. And the stage is set, beginning in verse 24 and proceeding onward through the next couple of chapters, we see the downfall and the end of Absalom. But in the meantime, as the battle lines are drawn, we again see more faithful friends of David emerging. Absalom had sought to amass his popularity and his support of the elders of Israel and to take control of the concubines of his father and thus solidify his grasp of the throne of Israel. But the verses 25 through 29 give us the understanding that there were still many people loyal to David. And as we read here, among the wealthy people on the east side of Jordan, the Ammonites and those Barzillai and others who had remained faithful to David. And they sought, now that they recognize his need as a fugitive, as a king on the run with his large number of followers, as we read in this passage, they recognize that the people must be hungry and weary and thirsty. So they do their part to sustain them, to help them, and to provide for David's needs as he's on the road. We see here that they provide bedding, and they provide earthen vessels, and they provide all kinds of food, dried foods and grains and lentils and sheep and oxen and everything that he might need. They provided for the needs. And again, this is God providing for the needs of his people. He retained those who were yet loyal to the king in this time of uncertainty, in this time of danger. Nevertheless, the Lord provided. And that is a lesson to us as well, that in all of our circumstances, in all of our times of trouble and uncertainty, the Lord is still on the throne. He's still able to provide for his people. He's still faithful. He is the ever faithful and true one. And thus we can be assured that we will not want as we pass through such times of danger, even the valley of the shadow of death, as Psalm 23 reminds us, that we should fear no evil because God is on the throne. He's still in control. He's still able to provide for the needs of his people. And thus, we have the battle lines drawn. David and his men, his followers, have escaped to safety. They've reached a fortified city in Mahanaim. And Absalom is preparing to pursue. He's gathering his troops at Gilead. And as I said at the beginning, this is a story of contrasts. We see the loyal ones, the faithful priests and the faithful people, the friends of David, who gathered together and did what they could, whether it be a handmaiden, someone who is at the well who relays the message, or whether it is the priests who even risk their own very lives to deliver the messages, the warnings to David. Or whether it be these individuals to the east of Jordan who sacrificed from their own possessions, their own food storage so that they might meet the needs of those of David and his followers who were hungry and thirsty and weary, that they might have some rest, that they might have sustenance, that they might be provided for at this time of danger. Again, we see the faithfulness of God. We see his ability to provide in the worst of circumstances. He met David's needs, and he met the needs of all the people that were with him. And Absalom's desire to immediately end the life of his father and to take over the throne of Israel are thwarted because, in this sense, they were delayed, and it was the beginning of the end. Ahithophel understood that Absalom, with the delay that followed, could not win this battle, and that David would emerge victorious. And thus, he hanged himself. The hymn is 475. We need to recognize that God is able to protect us and sustain us in our times of trials, in our times of difficulty. In the hour of trial, we have an advocate. We have one who will come to our aid and come to our defense. 475. Listening to this recording of a worship service at Sovereign Grace Baptist Church. For further information, you can contact us at our website, www.localchurchpa.com. Email at sgbc@localchurchpa.com or call 570-435-2276.